Welcome if you're visiting here. Today we love visitors. Be relaxed, and I hope this is helpful to you this morning. I hope you get a glimpse of God. We serve to such an amazing God, don't we? If you're here as a visitor, then please feel free to, I think we're going to have some church Bibles handy around. Please feel free to use one of the church Bibles. We're going to be looking at just a couple of verses from the Bible today, from 1 John, and you'll find it on page 1226 of the church Bibles. And I just want to encourage the rest of the church that we live in a time of great technology. We can look at the internet on our phones now, and our tablets and our laptops, and I know many of us have the Bible app on our phones, but I just want to encourage you to invest in a good old-fashioned paper Bible, okay? Now, the reason I want to encourage you with this is because this can be your book, okay? You can highlight things in here, you can ring things, you can underline things, you can scribble notes. These are really helpful. When I first became a Christian, I was encouraged to go and buy a nice one and value it and treasure it and read it, obviously, and to look after it. And sometimes when, you know, verses, you can recall verses just by the position of the verse on the page. It's helpful, but you can't really do that with an app. Now, I'm not saying don't use apps, okay, because I use an app as well, but I'm just saying, get hold of a paper Bible, bring it to church on a Sunday morning, bring it to the prayer meetings, bring it to cell. Expect God to speak to you through his word, because this is a living word. Okay, this is God's word to you, to your life. It's really important. So let me just encourage you with that. I was encouraged by my first pastor, many of you know, to go and do that, and it was good. And I've always stuck with a paper Bible. Call me old-fashioned if you want. All right. Anyway, there we go. So we're going to continue with our series on 1 John today, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses from 1 John 3. So why don't you open your Bibles to 1 John 3, or look at your apps on 1 John 3, and I just want to focus on just a couple of verses. But these are just incredible verses. Listen to this. It starts with the word see. See. Just take note, John says. Take note. This is so important. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, exclamation mark. This is so rich, isn't it? The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. It's not yet known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We won't be him, but we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. A glorious day when we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. I just want to look at these couple of verses. The word lavish is incredible, isn't it? It's incredible. It's an immense word. Sumptuous. Regal. When you think about the word lavish, there are all sorts of things that come to mind. Luxuriant. Lush. Expensive. There are so many pictures that come to mind in our head. We think of, you know, lavish hotels or a lavish home or incredible holidays. in the world we live in, lavish tends to be restricted to the rich and famous, possibly the elite, only those who can really afford it. We simply don't consider anything but the best when we think of the word lavish. Lavish cars, lavish homes, lavish lifestyle. Let me show you something. Take a look at this. This is a boat. It's a boat. It's the most expensive boat on the planet. It's called the History Supreme, which is quite an interesting name, and I'll come back to that. But this boat will cost you $4.8 billion. It's lavish. It's lavish. If you read about this boat, it has like some ornaments inside that are made from meteor rocks. And I don't know whether you can see the hull in that bottom picture. The hull is made of gold and platinum. It's lavish. It's lavish. It's really luxurious. Some would say that this is out of this world, this boat. But the reality about this boat is that it's actually in this world. It's not out of this world. It's in this world. It's bobbing around in some private marina, I think in somewhere in Asia. An Asian businessman owns this. It's in the world. And actually, some would say that anyone who would actually desire this kind of boat would be quite a worldly person anyway. So it's actually not out of this world. It's actually in this world. But then we turn to the Bible and we read these few verses and we start hearing words that John is describing the love of God with the word lavish. This is astonishing love. Sometimes we can miss this because if you've been a Christian a long time, you know, we read verses about the love of God. But I just believe God wants us to understand something critical this morning about the immense, lavish love of God. Which is why I had about 10 verses to preach on, but I just thought, no, actually, I felt God saying, no, just look at these couple of verses about my love. This is a great love. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. John uses the word horeo when he says see, horeo, which means take note, gaze upon this, like meditate on it. This is worth exploring, John says. This is the word he uses. This is the terminology of how he writes it down. He said, guys, you've got to look at this. This is an incredible love. It's a lavish love. Gaze upon it. Meditate it. Make sure you fully understand this. This is really important. The King James Version uses the word behold. Behold. You see, before John unpacks all this for us, he starts to prepare us. We can read through it, but actually John says, no, come on. You need to see this. That's why the first word is behold. This is an incredible love. And do you know what? Only God can provide this love. It says here, see what great love the Father has lavished. Only He can provide this love. Only the Father can do this. Nothing in this world will ever compare to this love. Don't ever be fooled. Don't ever be fooled. Nothing in this world will ever compare with this love. We've taken a glimpse of this incredible yacht, haven't we? It's not out of this world. People would use the figure of speech that this thing is out of this world. This hotel was out of this world. This yacht was out of this world. You should have seen it. It was incredible. But the reality is, it's not. It's in this world. But what's really interesting is if you study these verses here, John uses exactly the same terminology as that. He uses exactly the same terminology. It's really interesting. He starts to explain about this lavish love of God, and he he uses the exact words, see what great love. The original meaning is potapos, the Greek word potapos, which means not from this place. It's interesting, isn't it? It means that this love is actually out of this world. It's not from this world. Nothing in this world will ever compare. This is the terminology that John's using. He said, no, listen, this love is out of this world. You can't manufacture it. There's nothing in this world that will ever compare. It's way off the scale. It's priceless. You cannot put money on this. It's out of this world. But it's been lavished on us, he says. Lavished on us. When I read the word lavish, it just reminds me of it just being poured out. Remember when Jesus was anointed? And she was pouring perfume over him. And it seemed wasteful. And it feels like the same thing. The word lavish sort of feels wasteful, doesn't it? But God just does not hold back. There's this incredible love, and he just pours it out. Overflows. Out of this world. It's incredible. I occasionally hear people say, I'm having a conversation with them, they'll say, I reckon good people go to heaven. Impossible. Impossible. Some people say, or they think, if I go to church, if I read my Bible more, if I pray more, if I'm a good person and I work hard, I'm going to get to heaven. Impossible. It's impossible. Because his love is out of this world. There's nothing in this world that will ever enable us to get to heaven. What enables us is this love which is out of this world. That's why there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. This is the most astonishing, outrageous, out of this world thing for Christians. That he would choose to love me. And as I look around the room, that he would choose to love you lot. It's the most miraculous thing, isn't it? Because we're all rubbish. Compared to God, compared to his precious Son who hung on the cross for us, we're rubbish. This is a miraculous, out of this world love. And there's nothing that we can control either. If you're a control freak sitting here, there is nothing that you can control because the love is out of this world. You can't control your destiny. Your destiny is controlled by God because it's out of this world. It's not in this world. And we're in this world. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is entirely and absolutely from God. There's nothing that we can do more to make him love us more, and there's nothing that we can do less to make him love us more. This is the mystery behind this. Just think about this. At the end of a busy working month, okay, you're in front of your boss and he hands you your payslip. How do you respond? Do you open up your payslip and say, behold, how lavishly you have paid me? No, you don't, do you? You say, well, it's payday. I've been paid. Probably haven't been paid enough, but I've been paid. You deserve it. You deserve your pay slip because you've worked that month. You deserve it. You deserve to be paid. But let me tell you, a true born-again believer who has placed their faith and life in the hands of the Saviour responds with, wow, behold, what lavish love, totally undeserved. Absolutely and exclusively from the Father. Jesus Christ crucified. This is the most remarkable love for you. We looked at a boat called History Supreme, didn't we? Interesting name. Because I believe the most supreme thing in history is Christ crucified. For you and for me. It's an incredible, lavish love. Never lose the wonder of your salvation. Never lose it. Never lose it. If someone asks you, are you a Christian? You don't say, of course I'm a Christian. Because when I read in these verses, I never see any of course in here. I don't see of course in these words. I see behold. Behold. Be really careful about how we respond to people. This is absolute amazement. See what great love the Father has bestowed upon us. Never lose the spirit of wonder about this. You know, there is no one in this room that deserves this lavish love. If you were one of the original founders of this church from 30 years ago, you don't deserve it. If you've just become a Christian and you've just started coming along, you don't deserve it. If you're a visitor here and you know, perhaps you don't even know Jesus, you haven't even committed your life to him yet, you don't deserve it. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. This is a grace thing. This is a love poured out over us, an undeserved love only from the Father. There's nothing we can do about it apart from just receive it. And when things fall away, this is where it just sort of changes the way we live and changes the way we walk through life. Because when we grasp this, it affects how we do stuff in the world. It affects how we love others around us, how we cope with stuff. When things around us fall away because they will, when life gets tough because it will, understanding this helps us. We can never say, why would God put me through this? Why is God doing this to me? The true Christian knows that his love is totally, totally undeserved. We owe him nothing. We owe God nothing. This is totally and all from him. This isn't a mutual love. This is just from the Father lavished on us. Totally undeserved. It doesn't affect, by the way we do things, it doesn't affect how much love we get. It's poured out. It's lavish. Bosh. It's lavish. It's just poured out. Embrace this. Do you know, remind yourself again and again. I sat down to prepare this and I thought, no, I've heard this verse before. Sorry, I'm losing my voice, getting excited. I've heard this verse before. I've seen it. It's been preached on. What can I bring that's fresh? Oh my goodness, behold. This is incredible. Our great Saviour of the world. We sing that hymn, don't we? I hear the Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sinners left a crimson stain, but he's washed it white as snow. It's all from him, this lavish love. And it's been poured out on us for a purpose. In verse 1, it says here, look at verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that. That word is important. That we should be called children of God. There's a change. That word is a change word. That we are called children of God. This isn't just a feeling. It's not just a legal thing. It's an actual change. As your status is changed before God. You've become a child of God. When we offer our lives to him, we put our hope in him, you automatically, it's a change. You become that. And because of that, this love suddenly gets poured out over you. That's why the Bible talks about being born again, being changed, born again. There's so many references in John. If you read through it, it's so many references to do with child and being a child and children, just to be able to receive this. It's interesting because as children, you can't really do anything, can you? Newborn babies. This is baby Ethan. Okay, so we had the privilege of going to St. Peter's. This is Dabantania's latest little addition to the family. It's Ethan. It's gorgeous, isn't he? Do you know, can I let you into a secret? We went to visit him. He was in there with Tanya and Dub. He did nothing. Seriously. He just sat there. She was holding him. He did nothing. He didn't even open his eyes. But she loved him. She fed him. She changed his nappy. Won't go there. She put some fresh clothes on him. She comforted him. She put him in his bed. He did nothing. Babies do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. Everything comes from the parent. That, do you know what? Babies aren't even capable of loving back. They just sit there. But you love them, don't you? You comfort them. And John says here that we should be called children of God. And that is what you are. When you turn to good and fully turn to God and you fully entrust your life to him, you become his child. You're born again. You're born again. And everything is from the Father. He provides for you. He feeds you. He protects you. He comforts you. It's all from him. Behold this. Behold it. Understand it. He's chosen you. This is out of this world love. It's impossible for us to give anything back. It's impossible. It's just this incredible, lavish, it just comes and just keeps on coming for you. Do you know what? The only thing a newborn baby can give a parent is joy. And that's all God calls us to give him, actually. It's just to be there, just to give your life to him. The simple truth is for you to have the ability to let him love you. That's it. That's all we're called to do. You see, nothing can touch this love. And it should radically transform the way we live. The Bible reminds us time and time again, don't fear. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about things. He's the Father. He's in control. He's the provider of everything that we need. I met someone this week for lunch, and I was chatting to him about his job, and he was going through a particularly difficult time with one of the managers of his company. And I was just sitting there just praying, God. I started praying, Holy Spirit, give me something to tell this guy to encourage him. You know, sometimes you have like a mental block. I was thinking, oh, how can I encourage this guy? And then I felt God just drop into my head, tell him he's a child of God. He's a child of mine. So I did. I said, you don't need to worry, because you're his child and he's your father. And he's totally and utterly in control. I hope it helped. I don't know. Actually, you don't need to worry. There's a much bigger picture out there. The King James Version says, behold what, listen to these words, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you. When you tell someone you love them, don't you just say, I love you. You don't say, I bestow my love on you, do you? You say, I love you. I love you. It's true. You don't say, I bestow my love on you. But John writes here that his love has been bestowed on us. It's been given to us because of something. It's been, something has changed in us. Something has happened, and the love then comes. We're a child of God. We commit to him. Suddenly, this lavish, lavish love is poured out over us. You've been changed as of like a it's like a divine thing, a divine nature. You're changed. You're changed. You're his child. And then finally, John shares this promise with us again, doesn't he? This universal, eternal promise that Christ will appear. He will appear. And he says, then we shall be like him. We shall be like him. You see, when a baby is born, they look like the parents. Do you want to see my kids when they were younger? See if you can guess which one's which. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Who's that? Josh. It's Josh. Yeah. I don't know. How old were you there? I think you were at preschool. No, it was about 4 or 5, wasn't it? Yeah. He looks like me, doesn't he? Yeah. What about this? Who's that? Little gorgeous Tommy. Tickle Tommy. They look like the parents, don't they? Gorgeous kids. Who's that? This is a tricky one. I know. It's tricky. This is Betty. Look at her. Just look at her. She's gorgeous, isn't she? I love the way she danced, honestly. Seriously. And see if you can guess this one. Digger, honestly. They've got babies look like their parents, don't they? They look like the parents. And John is saying here, he said, look, you will be changed into him. Because, you know, I think of my life and I think, oh my goodness, I'm just going to be so embarrassed when I meet Jesus. But John says that, you know, you don't need to be, because when you've committed to him and this lavish love is poured out over you and he will appear, you're going to be changed. You're going to be changed. You're going to be like him. You won't become him, but you will be like him. You will be like him. It is wonderful. You will be like him. You know, when we're born again, we're given a foretaste of what's to come. It's as if God just can't help but just, this is going to be amazing, guys. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to spend eternity together in paradise. He gives us a little foretaste of it. But we're still living in the world, so stuff happens. But he's recorded these words for us to be encouraged. This lavish love. He says, no, whatever happens to you, I love you. I love you. It's a lavish, lavish love. It's been recorded. Look, it's in here. It's the truth. It's been recorded for you to read. So on days that are rubbish, you open your Bible and you can read the truth. And you don't need to be robbed of this, because this is the truth. This will happen. There will be a day. Christ will appear and you will be like him. In all his glory and purity and holiness. John writes it down here, doesn't he? A few verses after that, he says, all who have a hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So we have a responsibility because our mindset changes. Oh my goodness, I become a Christian and the Spirit convicts us of stuff and we need to keep pure. But also, all who have this hope, when we've put our hope in him, actually, you're purified. You're purified because you're clothed in the righteousness of the Saviour. We become like him. God doesn't see our rubbish lives. He just sees this amazing image of his son crucified. This immense love. No wonder it's a lavish love, because it's the love of the Father to the Son. A lavish love of the Father to his children. We read these remarkable verses and we suddenly begin to understand that this love is out of this world. It's a lavish love that we may never quite fully understand until we come face to face with him. We won't fully get it. It's too big for us. But he doesn't ask us to fully understand it. He asks us to stand under it. So just stand under this love. You don't need to fully understand it. It's an incredible grace gift of lavish love being poured out over your life.